world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365Copilot.
You know you need fiber for a healthy gut, but do you actually know how to get it? Quaker's been serving up fiber since 1877, with over 100 great-tasting, good source of fiber options to choose from. Whether you like old-fashioned oats, instant oatmeal, granola, or oatmeal squares, Quaker makes it delicious. Mmm, so good. Get your fiber with Quaker. Shop Quaker's good source of fiber products at a store near you.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
And I'm living my best life right now.
Rich Eisen.
Michigan makes the Final Four by curb stomping Tennessee.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Duke gets Leitnert in front of the whole country.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL draft analyst Matt Miller. Coming up, NFL Network reporter Mike Garofolo. NBC Sports Bay Area 49ers reporter Matt Maiocco. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Mike Garofolo is going to be joining us from the NFL owners meeting. We'll explain why, one of the many reasons why we called upon him. Matt Maiocco, who covers the Niners, he's at the NFL owners meeting as well. We're keeping an eye on any of the rules, proposals, and changes. At some point, that's going to be voted on, and then we'll get some results, and then the commissioner will speak on Wednesday, and then off we go to everybody back to their homes and facilities, and then the draft hits as April starts tomorrow.
Let's go.
Again, I said 844-204-RICH being the number to dial right here on the program. Let's go to, you know what, we'll go to Sid in Baltimore. Let's start with Sid here to kick off our number two to the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Sid?
Hi, Rich. How are you doing today?
What's going on?
I asked Paul Feinbaum the same question yesterday, but I wanted to know your opinion because I have a sports podcast with my friend Liam called Not What I Meant, and I asked him this the other day.
Okay.
I'm wondering what you think is harder to win, March Madness or the college football playoff?
Okay.
And I'm going to give my opinion because I think it's a hot take. I'm going to say the college football playoff just because I think March Madness can sometimes be a little more fluky. And teams receiving a first-round bye in the college football playoff are 1-7. I know it's a small sample size, but it's not nothing.
Well, part of the reason why, Sid, the teams that got a bye are 1-7 in the college football playoffs is because the teams that get a bye sometimes, I'll just say it, screw it, don't deserve it. They're in conferences that aren't as strong as the Big Ten or the SEC, which is the truth. In college football, and they get it because everybody's kind of got to get, you know, a bye from everybody who wins their conference has got to get in. And sometimes they get the bye because they've won their conference, which, you know, they got to get a better seed than somebody that didn't, even though the somebody that didn't might have, say, lost to Michigan in the last game of the regular season. And they get in and go on a run and win it all anyway, because they're the best team in college football. Who lost to their rival at the last second, you know? So
I disagree, but I feel like most of the buys are like to teams like Oregon and Ohio State and those premier teams.
Well, I know, and then again, Oregon got a buy and then ran into the aforementioned Ohio State Buckeyes, you know, and so that's the reason why they got one and done right there. But I would just say this. I'm going to go the NCAA tournament, and I thank you for the call, Sid. I'm going to go the NCAA tournament because you said, you know, fluky. I mean, that's the whole thing, you know.
It makes it hard.
You know, the college football playoffs is eager dying to get a UMBC moment out of, say, James Madison. They would love to have a team that everybody's thinking, why are they in the college football playoffs over, say, the second or third place team in the SEC or the second place team in the ACC or the third place team in the Big Ten? Why are they in? They shouldn't be in because their competition is different or what have you. But at the end of the day, they are in. And I think the College Football Playoff Committee would love to have that Siena scaring Duke moment, right? They would love it, but football's different than basketball. And the difference also in winning the NCAA tournament as opposed to the college football playoffs is you've got to play two games in 3 days.
Right.
Survive in advance is, I mean, just again,
yeah,
just to use this example of my Wolverines from this past weekend. They beat Alabama and Tennessee in the span of 48 hours. And if you take a look at both of those team styles, vastly different. Alabama wants to go running up and down the floor, shooting threes like crazy, keeping you out of your game by going helter-skelter, keeping things going, wearing you down because you're, you know, you're going up and down the court, transition this, transition that. And then Tennessee's different. Let's beat the crap out of you. We're just as tall and big as you. That's why Bruce Pearl said he didn't think Michigan could punk them. But my point is, not that Michigan beat them both handily, but my point is that Dusty May and his staff had to have game plans for both in the span of 48 hours. And the same thing with Illinois and the same thing with UConn. UConn had to go against Michigan State and Duke in a span of 48 hours. In college football playoffs, you're getting like a week and a half off. Not even a week, more than a week. Would you agree with that or no?
No, I'm just thinking. So we've had the 12-team college football playoff each of the last 2 years, and the best team won the championship each year, right? Ohio State was the best team in 24, and they won, and Indiana was the best team, and they won, right?
Yeah,
When we say that doesn't happen in college basketball. The best team doesn't win. The number one overall team is Duke. They're out.
So that shows you it's more difficult to win.
More difficult to win the basketball. Right. That's my point.
TJ?
Yeah, he's got a good point there. I mean, in football, like, obviously, the top dogs are going to.
Although, wouldn't you think if, I guess, again, the regular season's different. If Arizona or Michigan wins, it would be, people would say the best team did win the tournament?
Probably, but that's.
But the beauty of the NCAA tournament is if somebody like Illinois wins it, it's just like, right, that's exactly. Cinderella's right, the yeah, glass slipper. Right. It fits.
Yeah, they're a three seed. Right. They won. They weren't, you know, a three seed. They're conceivably in the 9, 10, 11, right, 12 range heading into the bracket.
But I guess that the question isn't what's more fitting. The question is what's more difficult. And
it's,
I think, again,
because of the six games.
Yeah, yeah, you've got, again, you like I said, Michigan played, yeah, two teams of thoroughly different styles.
Yeah.
And you've got to be versatile enough to do what they did.
But you get a week off, but you got to play two games in 3 days, break, two games in 3 days.
Yes.
Two games in 3 days. You got to do it three times.
Yes, you do.
I think that's much more difficult.
I agree.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Mike Garofolo of NFL Network is going to join us. He's at the owners' meeting. His information's terrific. Part of the reason why we want him on. The other reason is because we look forward to this every year. We've been doing this for quite some time.
Quite some facts.
We've been around this neighborhood now. This is our 11th season for this program. Very crazy, fun, man. The NFL has a class photograph of all the owner of all the of the coaches. Notice they don't do this for the general managers or the owners. Wouldn't that be great if the owners,
yeah,
did this?
They do a GM photo.
They do?
There's no owners.
So
yeah.
There's a GM photo. Why isn't that shared?
Well, because GMs, you know,
it's not as
lesser known.
Okay.
Lesser known.
Yeah, there's no owners class photo, huh?
There's no owners class photo.
They were all like, to heck with that. We're, you know,
back to my yacht.
Yeah.
They need to have one.
It's been a long time since Jerry Jones took his Sears photograph class photo, right?
It has been.
Yeah, these guys and ladies are like, yeah, we're done with that.
I mean, there needs to be an updated one. We need to see where they put Carly Urse Gordon.
Because we cool. do love this because of the where coaches sit and how they are looking and whether they're happy to be there or not. And it's a moment in time. It's a snapshot in time. And we kind of dig it. We love it. So the first photograph we see online of it, we're going to use it. We're going to go for it. We're going to go off the top of our heads and we're going to have fun with it. So when Mike Garofalo was the first out, we're like, okay, put it up on the screen. It's just not usable. It's off to the side. What is this thing? Like, is that, that's a light, right?
That's a light.
That's
a light.
An antenna.
Giant shadow. No, that's a light.
Or is that, no, that's an antenna. No, that's a light.
You can see in the shadow.
Yeah,
it's a light.
Yeah, it's a light.
Yeah, because we can't, there's shadows. It's in the sunlight.
And hardly make anybody out.
You know, and then we just, it's just like, Mike, what are you doing? What are we doing?
I got to be honest, like, I...
But that's not his forte. His forte's information.
I don't know Mike well enough to stand up for him, but I'm sure if he would have known that this picture would be traveling around...
He knew it. He posted it. He even added Kyle Brandt. Like, Kyle's the only one who does this.
Okay, that's true. All right, then you know what? No defense.
At any rate, he's about to join us.
Reach around the pole.
I tried.
But so put up the real one, the one that here. Look at that class
photo. But that's done by a professional paparazzi.
No, I know that. So this is the one that we'll use. And it's now time to break down the annual coaches photograph.
All right.
And the first thing that I notice is they put the brothers together.
The black guys?
No. Oh. Different ones.
Oh, okay.
Actual siblings. Good one. They are their Harbaughs next to the LaFleurs. John and Jim.
Okay.
And Matt and Mike. Mike now the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. He's the home head coach right there. So there they are. The brothers are hanging all together. Isn't that nice?
Or brother.
And made me think, there's Matt LaFleur. Where is Ben Johnson in relation to Matt LaFleur? Since, you know.
They don't like
each other. They're not next to each other.
That's a good
okay. Notice that Matt is in between a Harbaugh and his own brother.
Right.
Harbaugh. Okay? So we're wondering, is Ben as far away from Matt as possible? And the answer is no. He has just three coaches as a human shield in between him and his nemesis.
Gosh, Joe Brady is huge.
Okay, Joe Brady is a bigger than you think. He's in the bigger than you think category.
Or is Matt LaFleur just a little guy?
No, Mike is I don't think as tall as you think, but I've been around Joe Brady. Joe Brady's taller than you. He might see eye to eye with TJ.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So it's three new head coaches in between the nemeses of the NFC North. Although, you know, Stefanski's been in this photograph last few years as the Browns head coach. Newcomers Mike LaFleur, Joe Brady, and there's Stefanski. Just three coaches. I thought it would be more than that.
Yeah, I thought he'd be, you know, in the Kubiak spot or...
At least one more away.
Just on the end.
Yeah.
You know, or standing off to the end. Like, I think, was it Sirianni is on the far...
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
Right side, yeah.
So you mentioned Clint Kubiak. If you zoom in on him, he just doesn't look very happy. You know what I mean?
Sun's in his eye.
Yeah, these guys are looking directly into the sun.
No, I understand, but they're
also... Shouldn't have worn black today.
I don't... Yeah, well, I mean, Raider he's a Raider. Nation, Raider Nation.
And Lonesomer.
And, you know, there he is. Long sleeves, too. Interesting choice. He better change that. He's moving to the desert, man. but he doesn't look very happy. You'd think that he would be, like, sitting next to Ben Johnson. Like, if...
Well,
thankfully,
like
I'm glad that
somebody.
You did not take my job 2 years ago so I could have this job now.
Right.
Two cycles ago, you know.
Maybe that's why he's sitting next to him.
It like, could be that. I don't know. And it's plus, hey, Clint, you are one of only two guys in this photo to have won a ring just a couple months ago. Now you're wondering, where is Mike McDonald?
That was my first thought. Look at that picture. I thought he would have
been front and center because Andy Reid usually, I'm the champ. I'm front
and
center.
That's what I was wondering the first time I saw
Mike McDonald is sort of center-ish, but he's next to the two guys who used to hire him.
Oh, okay.
He's right next to John.
And he looks
swole. And Jim.
Right?
He looks a little swole right there.
Yeah, he sure does. So there's Mike McDonald right there next to the two guys that had previously employed him before he became a head coach of his own right. And see, he's smiling like, I won the Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. He's the happiest guy
say
there.
Cheese. I am the only head coach in this photograph who won as a head coach. Clint Kubiak is just like, bro, smile. You know?
You think he was big timing people all day?
So where's Vrabel? Where's Vrabel?
Yeah, where's
Vrabel? Okay, Vrabel is just a couple over from McDonald.
Okay.
On the other side of Sean Payton.
Oh.
And there he is next to Jeff Hafley.
He looks good.
And Hafley looks like he's cooking up something, man. Doesn't he? By the
way, he does. He looks like he knows something that you don't.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm cooking up something. Yeah. But I got a master plan here.
Rich, it also could be that you want to talk about, like, man spreading. Vrabel's taking up half his seat, so maybe he's just like, he's a big guy.
I mean, Vrabel's a big man.
Big man.
If there's anybody who's going to man spread, it's going to be Mike Vrabel. You know, if it's not Reed. So you got Hafley sitting next to Vrabel right there. And they play each other twice next year. I don't know if Hafley's already game planning or something. He's cooking something up.
Cozying up to him.
Speaking of two coaches that are going to be playing against each other as well next year, Liam Cohen and Mike McCarthy's back in the photograph. And I don't know what it is, man. But
oh my goodness.
Liam's leaning away from Mike.
Maybe it's warm. Maybe Mike ripped one. I don't
You can say that about every pick so far.
Let me get out of here a little bit.
Liam, and Jim are the only ones wearing shades. I don't know if Jim's got transitioned. Liam just looks like he's wearing shades.
Styling.
Okay.
Liam's just cool. Wow.
Cliff Kingsbury School of.
Now, you mentioned this. Like, normally, Andy Reid's sitting right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Man spread centerpiece was the name of one of our fantasy team names that won a championship in the Jerry Cantrell Celebrity League when we were invited to that back in the day.
I think it was his birthday yesterday, by the way.
Jerry Cantrell?
Yesterday.
One of our favorites. Nice. By the way, what a year from him.
Seahawks,
celebrating a birthday. A Seahawks win. Jim's in the middle wearing shades. Where is Andy Reid? He's standing up this year.
Oh.
Now, I think that's because he had knee surgery and he might have a brace on or something.
Oh.
That might be. But there he is.
Or a scar.
There he is. Look at Andy still in the
Hawaiian shirt.
In the Hawaiian shirt. He's the only one, I think, that is wearing his team's logo as well.
Oh, it's a Chiefs Hawaiian
shirt. It is that.
That's watermark.
Cool. Okay. Oh, is John Harbaugh wearing his? I believe John is wearing his, too. Well, at any rate, he is. That's a choice, man. That's a choice.
He's got to remind people that he's the Giants coach.
All right, so now let's get to this part, because you know how we feel about Robert Saleh.
Well.
This is a man
who's
comfortable around other bald men.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay? He's hired an entire staff of bald men. Dan Quinn. Right next to Dan Quinn in this photograph.
Love it.
Beautiful bald coaches sitting. Look at those guys right here.
Guys.
Shanahan screwing it up. And, you know.
Shanahan looks like a
bald. You know, Sirianni screwing it up. But there they are, the two guys. Now, it's not just a bald thing.
It's a shoulder thing.
Not just that. In 2024, last time Saleh was in this photograph, he was next to Dan Quinn. And there's Daboll. They looked like a bald brotherhood of cell phone. No, of cell phone reception bars. Okay.
You're going to go Russian.
Right now, you know, and Daboll is now Saleh's offensive coordinator and the most bald coaching staff of all time.
There's Stefanski, too.
There's Stefanski, too, in the same seat as he is in this. Is it a same seat policy for Stefanski?
Same seats, dibs.
Is that what it is?
Third from the left.
I don't know. But Sirianni is in the Daboll spot, and he looks swole.
Jeez.
So do you like Saleh better, beard or no beard?
Oh,
24, there was that beard.
No beard.
I'm just glad that he's back. But look at Sirianni. This is, by the way, you know, you always have to, with your spouse, take the bullet of being on the end, because you get distended on the end, and you always got to take that bullet. Because Sirianni looks swole here. And it's interesting also that
he's a big guy.
One thing that it looks like a cactus is photobombing them.
It's like just looking over.
And I was just wondering, you know, in terms of Arizona figures, Cactus or the current head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, Who wore it better? Little Us Magazine to finish this thing up. Is it this man or is it the cactus in the back? Who wore it better? He kind of have a similar style.
Just kind of like spiky.
Very spiky. Yeah,
very spiky.
Very thorny. Spiky.
That's great.
And that's our breakdown of this year's coach's photo, everybody.
Nice.
Oh, and not pictured. You always have to have pictured.
Two. Not pictured.
Todd Monken and Sean McVay.
Why were they?
One of the most photogenic.
Were they at the bathroom or something?
I don't know.
Perhaps.
Sir, not appearing in this photo. There you go.
Father and son.
Playing the role of Belichick, who rarely ever is like, screw it, I'm not taking that.
That's the cactus picture.
That's the cactus. That's our breakdown.
Fantastic.
Round of applause, everybody. Yeah. All right. We appreciate having a usable photo, unlike the one that Mike Garofalo posted yesterday.
Oh,
he's joining us next right here on the Rich Eisen Show, live from the owners meeting in Arizona.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. If you're like me and my family, you're all about creating amazing memories while on vacation. And for me, many of those have involved a home we found on Airbnb. We had such great experiences that whenever we travel somewhere new, we always check Airbnb first to find a place that fits our needs. The homes we've stayed in, comfortable, safe, private. You feel like you're part of the community. After a long day of exploring or sitting on a beach, it really is nice to come back to a place you can call your own. Airbnb is also a great way, if you want, to earn some extra money while you're traveling or out of your house for an extended period of time. You can make your home work for you while you're away. Not as a full-time thing, not as some big production, just something that fits into trips you're already taking. You can use the money for that dream vacation or put that money towards that outdoor kitchen you always wanted. Hosting on Airbnb just feels smart. Your home may be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Perfect timing that our radio audience rejoined in the middle of that answer, certainly since we're on here locally in Los Angeles on ESPN 710, home of the Los Angeles Rams. So yep. McVay wanted to be in the photograph.
Yes.
But somebody just decided to go early, which is crazy. Like, so like Coughlin time times four, like that's what it is. Like they moved it up 20 minutes. That's crazy.
They didn't move it up. It was like the meeting broke. Everybody was right there. They're going to head to lunch in a second here.
Lunch.
And it's hard to keep 30 NFL head coaches in the same place. So it wasn't like, you know, you guys wait here and see if we can find them for 5 minutes. Like, we got to go. We got to do this. So it was quick. The way that it happened, and I felt for Sean and Monken. I mean, listen, Monken finally becomes a head coach. He's breaking down at his opening press conference about the road that it took to get him to be a head coach. You know, he wanted to be part of that photo.
So behind you, are they putting the NFL Tuesday night party together? Is that what's going on?
No, tonight's movie night for the kids, right?
Okay,
so that could be the screen they're setting up. I can't see. No, behind you, but this
looked like an NFL shield that was just brought behind you. Oh. I don't know. Like, back when I was there, there used to be like a commissioner's party. Al Davis would stare a hole through you when you looked for a fifth cheese cube. You know, like that's what had happened when I first went there, Mike. You know.
There's a Sunday night gathering that we're not invited to, and then there's last night.
That's the pond
where
they're at the pool. Yeah. You're at the pond. Is that
and,
what it is?
And last night was credential required because you're at a party. Okay. Like, who wants to? It kind of kills the vibe of wearing the credential.
Yeah.
But when you walk in and you see, you know, NFL executives, I believe Roger was wearing his, and all the head coaches are wearing theirs.
Okay.
how can I take my credential off at that point? Right. So everybody's got the lanyard. So, but it was the far lawn. I don't think they ever had anything on the far lawn before.
Okay.
This time they had, it was a lot of stuff for the kids. They had a donkey over there. They had arts and crafts.
What?
That's where the hamburger food truck was, which was fantastic.
Awesome.
It was. They went all out this year. But it was fantastic.
Mike, my face is my credential Garofalo here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is today's? Is that Gilligan walking behind you? What is happening right now? What is happening? Okay. All right.
Makes you wonder who she thinks I'm talking to.
Okay. What is the news of today? Like what are we getting out of today? Anything?
Yeah. Today's going to be minor rule changes. I say minor. They may have a major impact, but it's not like the rules changes of the past, right? There's no tush push. There's no hot button issue.
Okay.
I would say the biggest thing is going to be the officiating rules, which are twofold. One, can New York now eject a player if there wasn't a flag on the field? Previously, they couldn't do that. They couldn't consult with the officials on site unless there was a flag down. We actually had in the Super Bowl, we had a little bit of a scuffle late in the game. Josh Jobe from the Seahawks threw a punch. I believe it was him that threw the punch. And they couldn't do anything about it because there was no flag on the field. So that I expect to be approved.
Okay.
And now that is, I wouldn't even call it a step. I'd call it a little bit of a toe forward toward at some point at the New York office being able to officiate part of the game or have an impact there. The league has been reluctant to allow that and to move in that direction. This will be the first tiny move in that direction.
Right.
And that's going to be regardless of who the officials are. Now, the second officiating change that I expect to occur today. It's not so much a change, but it's in the event of a work stoppage with the officials to prevent another fail Mary situation. It'll be New York having the chance to officiate major moments in the game again, such as the fail Mary, to say if we've got replacement officials and they screw something up, we'll be able to backstop them with folks who are full-time league replay officials from New York. So that is twofold. That's one, to make sure that they're preparing for that potential situation. But Rich, it's also negotiating, right? It's saying towards the NFL Referees Association, we're locked in a dispute right now. If you think you can hold that over our heads, go ahead. Good luck without us.
Right.
You'll have another fail Mary. No. We're already preparing for that situation. So that's part of the negotiations between the sides as they try to get something done ahead of May 31st, is the day that they would like to get something done by.
Okay. And we'll just table that because I don't,
yeah.
As you know, I don't think anything bores or turns fans who listen or watch a show like this one off more than labor conversations. So we'll just leave that there.
Well, I tried to tie it to a pivotal.
No, but it is. No, but you're right. Yeah. Like the league does not want to get into a situation where the New York office, the Art McNally Center, where there are eyeballs on the big eye in the sky on all of these games, puts flags on the field at a stadium that they're thousands of miles away from and not part of the conversation on the sidelines and on the field and things like that. They don't want to do that. Finally getting rid of you only penalize the second person in on a push shove fight and not penalize the first. It's time to get that out of the game. And I appreciate that. What other news is coming out of here? Let me jump into this. We heard Clint Kubiak talking today about great to have Max Crosby in the building. I'll ask you this question. What's more likely, that this is everybody going back to the same corner to try and get the same trade to happen with someone else for the same, as close to the same draft compensation as the Raiders would have, or Max Crosby truly, based on what did happen to him and with him in Baltimore, that now supersedes whatever hard feelings he had to ask for the trade to begin with, and he's going to stay a Raider? What do you think?
You know, I don't, I'm almost I'd push back a little bit on asking for a trade because it was almost the sides realizing maybe what was best for everybody.
Okay.
I mean, the Raiders at the time, and I think they're a better team now because frankly, they went about their business not expecting Crosby to be part of a team. And then you sort of add him back in and all of a sudden you go, wait, the Raiders are not that bad. But at the time, it was, this is going to take a couple of years to get going. And we're drafting rookie, a number one overall quarterback. And I understand that rookies can often come in and play a lot better than they used to play years ago in the NFL because they're more prepared for a variety of reasons. But it's not like, hey, Max, we're competing for a Super Bowl this year. So I think that that was the conversation between both sides that got to the point of getting Max traded to Baltimore. Now, given everything that happened and the fact that the physicians who consulted on this one, Rich, in the end, are physicians from other teams. So other teams are sort of in agreement with where Baltimore eventually got on this one. So that's going to be an issue for the Raiders to turn around and try to negotiate with some of these other, including the Cowboys. I mean, Dan Cooper is one of the physicians, the Cowboys team physician, who was in on the final decision there. So it's sort of a dead end, not only with the Ravens, but with a number of other teams. And everything that I've been told is that everything is pushing toward Max Crosby back to being a Raider, going out there, being motivated. I don't think anyone is, including the Ravens, is questioning the fact that he'll play football this year and play football at a high level. The question was, how long would that knee be able to hold up? And I do know, and we reported this, Jane Slater and I, at some point there was a thought toward, well, maybe we can renegotiate the trade and say, well, maybe it's not two ones, maybe it's 1-1, or maybe it's some other kind of compensation. But that never really got off the ground, because as soon as the Ravens got to that frame of mind, which was in that 5-hour window that Crosby claimed they weren't talking to him, which is not entirely accurate, by the way. Once it got to that point, they got more medical info that said, no, we're going to be off this thing completely.
My favorite quote, Mike Garofalo here on the Rich Eisen Show. My favorite quote of the entire owners meeting to date. I mean, you never know. Yeah. Obviously, there's tonight, there's today, tonight, and then there's tomorrow, the farewell. Was Howie Roseman talking about the A.J. Brown trade, saying, I unfortunately don't have a home under a rock, but my answer to any question on A.J. Brown is A.J. Brown is a member of the Eagles. Anything you ask me about A.J. Brown, I'm going to go right back to that answer. And I, you know, this is not one of those moments where media member is asking another media member about why does this keep coming up when media member keeps talking about it, or media member keeps being asked about it. That's you. But there is a there, right? No, Mike? Yes.
A there in what regard?
An A.J. Brown being asked about and potentially tradable. Mike?
If Howie Roseman wanted to end this right here in Phoenix, he could have. He could have said, A.J. Brown is a member of the Eagles for this upcoming season. There's no question in my mind, you know, with any finality, he didn't. And neither did Nick Sirianni. And I'm not knocking them. I'm actually grateful that they're answering it in as honest a way as they possibly can, because there's a scenario where A.J. Brown is back with the Eagles and there's a scenario where he's not back with the Eagles. And I think that this thing got closer to being done than people realize, Rich. I mean, I think there was positive momentum on a number of fronts. I mean, you heard Sean McVay talk about Davante Adams and the fact that he had conversations with him about potentially making a move at the receiver position. The Rams were intimately involved in having conversations with the Eagles. It just didn't get to the finish line because, well, for a variety of reasons, but in Roseman's mind, doing a trade before June 1st was going to be such a massive cap hit this season that if I'm going to take that on, I better get the compensation that I want to get and not come in below that. And it didn't get there, didn't get to that point. But now, post June 1st, when a lot of that cap hit gets pushed into the future, into 2027, that allows them to go about their business a lot better this year. And then maybe it's like, well, I'll take a little bit less. I do know that when it comes to Roseman, he's doing deals and having conversations. He wants to make sure that if this is my asking price, I'm not coming off of it, because now in the future, when I have conversations about other trades, they'll say, well, he came down eventually on the other one. He'll come down on this one. So I know that was a big part of it for him as well. And again, it just didn't get consummated, whether it was the Rams or the Patriots or any other teams they talked to. But I don't believe that it's the end. And I think you can see that clearly from their answers.
Yeah, I mean, June 1st being an important date, after which we'll be keenly attuned to this. So I'll ask you the same question I've asked, you know, Tommy P and everybody else that come on this show. Why would A.J. Brown get traded, right? Like, why does it have to happen? It doesn't have to happen.
Yeah.
Why would it come about as opposed to, well, we got A.J. Brown, we got Devontae Smith, we got Jalen Hurts, we got Saquon. We won a Super Bowl with these guys 2 years ago. Why would he have to go at the end of the day, Mike?
The relationship between him and the quarterback. And I've covered enough Eagles and we've talked about it. And it's not a situation where he is bitter toward the team. There's good feelings in that regard. There's good feelings both ways on that one. You know, Big Dom DeSandro is a huge A.J. Brown guy. And I think people have come to understand what Big Dom means to the organization. Previously, if I'd said a head of security for a team is a big proponent of a player, you'd say, okay, it's the head of security. But you know what Big Dom means to that team, and those feelings are shared by the head coach, by ownership, and by the head, by general manager as well. Which is why I do think it's going to be interesting to see how this spring plays out, because it's not like Brown is saying, I hate that team. They've done something to me. I want out of here. I don't want any parts of it. And I'm not showing up for the entire spring. It's a different type of situation. So is he there for workouts? Is he there for OTAs? If it lasts through minicamp, is he potentially there for that? And I don't have the answers to that. And people I have asked have said, well, we'll get there when we get there, sort of things. And I don't know that he's even made a decision for how he wants to handle it. So that's why, Rich. And I've heard both sides of it. I've heard from people around both of these guys. I'd say, Jalen is AJ's kid's godfather. How did it get to this point? And I've heard, you know, not enough to say I've got a full grasp of everything, but I've heard enough to go, okay, well, I'm not going to sit here and say it's Jalen's fault or it's AJ's fault. It's just two guys that seem to have grown apart for whatever reason.
Then last one for you on this is, why would the Rams have been interested, Mike?
Because they're going for it. And they've got a lot of young guys to pay moving forward here. Just on the defensive front. I mean, look at all the guys they've drafted, and they're not going to be able to pay all those guys. I mean, I think you're going to see at some point the Rams either have to let them walk or find a way to make a trade, because you've got too many guys. It's a great problem to have, but you got too many guys up front there. In addition to Puka Nacua and, what they're going to do with Stafford and at the quarterback position over the next couple of years, they've sort of pushed that business off into the future a little bit. A lot of times teams, and you're seeing the Seahawks with it, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, they'll do Devin Witherspoon pretty soon. Trying to get that business done as quick as possible. The Rams are like, well, we can still get these guys on their rookie contracts and go for it as well. And I know Sean McVay thinks extremely highly of A.J. Brown, so the chance to potentially acquire him was a reason for those conversations. So that's why. The Rams understand where they are right now, and they've got a ton of talent, and they've got the last act of Matthew Stafford here, which is not to say that this – I'm just saying the last act of his career.
Yes.
And they're going for it.
So, but Adams would have had to have been offloaded for that to happen, or could they? Okay. That's why, why McVay said they had a conversation with him.
I believe that would have been the case. Yeah. And I give him all the credit in the world for being open and honest with him and being open and honest with us.
Right.
In that regard. Now, if it circles back and the Rams are revisiting this, let's say after June 1st, I don't know how that plays out. I think in the meantime, since then, he's gotten a payment.
Yes.
So I don't know going forward. But I would say, going back from what I understood, that, yeah, he probably would have had to be offloaded.
All right, Mike. Appreciate the time. Enjoy our last night as NFL employees, sir. we told Tom last week that, obviously the credit card's down for incidentals. I understand that. But tomorrow it's all on the Disney tab, man. So treat the NFL like the Underhills tonight. You know what I mean?
I have a red eye back to Jersey tonight. So I will be in the air, almost like in the air at New Year's Eve, right? I think I'll pop something expensive. What do you think?
You should, or just put it all on Pelissero's room and get the hell out of Dodge.
Well, now we're talking. They did that to me the other day at the pool. So
what?
Yeah, I take that one on the chin.
Ian, I imagine, is part of the day. Who's part of the day?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that the entire tab went on there, but I think there were a couple of rounds where they were like, that guy over there's got it.
My God.
Because the number came back, and I was like, that's not right.
That's not it. Anyway. Careful, man. That's some of the inside stuff from the insiders. Good to see you, Mike. We'll chat soon.
Thank you, Rich. Journey. Appreciate you guys.
You bet. Right back. See you, bud. Mike G. Right. Mike Garfield.
Yeah, that's not
Mike G. Rich Eisen Show. There you go. I remember that. Those days at the first Pro Bowl I went to. With NFL Network, 2004 Pro Bowl. Rod Woodson told me under no circumstances are you to give out your room number, and you best be careful because all the players will look at you as the new NFL Network guy as the mark. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, if your room number gets out, everybody puts their stuff on your room number. You be careful. Keep your head on a swivel.
Did he follow up with like, so what is your number?
No, the guy who did get my room number was Marshall Faulk.
And did he use it?
And he made it seem like he read my room number because he watched my pen move when I signed for lunch. And he said my room number out loud to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you saw that from just my pen stroke? And he goes, uh-huh. And I'm like, too bad that's not my room number. And he goes, nice try. 3 days later on NFL Total Access at the Pro Bowl for our four down segment to wrap up the show, he said my room number on TV. And I shined it off again saying, not my room number. He goes, nice try. Making it seem like he could read how my pen moved on signing for the tab. We're going to the airport together to fly back to the mainland. I go back to my room to go check out and grab my bags, and I see Marshall Faulk's bags on a
cart
right next to my room because it's being removed from the room next door to me. Marshall was next to me the entire time.
I forgot about that.
Great story.
That's how he knew my room.
So it was the right room.
But was in my head the entire time, making it seem like he saw the way my pen moved.
So it wasn't the right room number that he gave out.
He gave out the right room number every time.
Evil genius.
Right. Evil. Marshall freaking Faulk. Wasn't his first Pro Bowl rodeo. Definitely it was not. Mine.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Refreshing wild cherry cola meets smooth cream. The treat you deserve. Pepsi wild cherry and cream. Treat yourself.
Get in the game with the college branded Venmo debit card. Rep your team with every tap and earn up to 5% cash back with Venmo Stash, a new rewards program from Venmo. No monthly fee, no minimum balance, just school pride and spending power. Get in the game and sign up for the Venmo debit card at Venmo.com/collegecard. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Select schools available. Venmo stash terms and exclusions apply at Venmo.me/stash terms. Max $100 cash back per month.
Small businesses, every hire counts. So does your time. Hiring can quickly become overwhelming, from sorting applications to figuring out who's truly qualified. That's where LinkedIn Hiring Pro helps. It streamlines the process so you can focus on connecting with the right candidates, not managing the noise. Hire right the first time, folks. Post your first job and get $100 off towards your job post at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen. Terms and conditions apply. Okay. Mike Garofalo alluded to it, and as we were having a conversation, the league voted on it, and yes, those two new officiating proposals have passed. Ooh. The competition committee has now gotten these rules changed, in addition to what we talked about with Mike Garofalo. The kicking team can now declare an onside kick at any time during the game.
Fantastic.
The whole business of kicking the ball from the 50-yard line, you can't just kick the ball intentionally out of bounds. That 50-yard line stuff happens when there's a personal foul penalty on an extra point or a point after, something like that. And like, we'll just take the ball from the 50, kick it out of bounds, and that would put the ball, I believe, at the 25 or something like that. There's a whole bunch of kickoff alignment stuff. But the thing that, you know, I don't want there to be an NFL referee labor problem. I don't think anybody does. But if there is, the league will basically handle overturning any damn call they please from the league office in New York City. Because, again, that fail Mary moment where, oh, it's a touchdown. No, it's incomplete. Brutal. No, it's an interception. All that Brutal. Sort of whatever. We can't have that. Certainly if we're shipping the game out to Australia for the Aussies to see for the first time. Oh, yeah. Those refs don't know what the hell they're doing. But the one thing is finally done is the business of one guy shoves one guy and the other guy just gives a love tap back, 15-yard penalty on the love tap guy, and the guy who shoves first goes scot-free, and the announcer shows the replay and the analyst shows the replay, and it's like, oh, they got the second guy, second not guy the first.
Always gets caught.
Over. Those days are over.
Yeah.
Thankfully, over. But there'll be a moment where refs miss something, and then all of a sudden CBS shows it, NBC shows it, Fox shows it, you know, like snitching out. But that's just the way it goes. That's the way it goes. That's what the cameras are there for. Don't forget the DK Metcalf suspension. CBS caught him doing that thing with the fan in the stands. Otherwise, no one else saw it. So it's just an eye in the sky, not lying. And I think it's great. And I think there should now be, this is going to open things up. Do you put a flag on the field for other things that are clear and obvious, like a face mask penalty that's missed? I say, you bet. I would take that in a heartbeat. Face mask penalties, you missed it. You say no?
It's too much at that point.
It's like the ABS system. You missed the ball. It's now a strike.
Yeah, but that's different. Now, because the saying is you can literally call holding or something on.
No. You don't do that. No. That's something that's subjective. Holding, pass interference, that's subjective. Illegal contact, a lot of that's subjective. But if it's clear and obvious, like you're yanked somebody's face mask that's halfway off your head now.
I don't know.
The helmet. I'd take that. So we'll see how that all works out. We're going to talk about the Niners specifically with Matt Maiocco when we come back on Hour 3.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Ryan Pata, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.